We go to Old Testament today. Not Corinthians, Chronicles, please. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And when you open it, stay there because I want to give you an introduction. Hallelujah. You all know about Solomon and you all know about David. Amen. And you know that David had this desire to build the temple of God. Do you remember that? David was a chosen king of God. And he had this desire to what? To build a temple for God. And once he decided to build the temple for God, God came to him and said, "Who is man that I dwell in the house that is made by the hand of man?" Then he said, "David, you are planning to build a temple for me, but a day will come that out of your generation, out of your people that will come out of you, he is going to build the temple." And God did not let David to build the temple. Why? Because in the meanwhile also David had committed a certain sin. And yet God still loved David. That's another subject of preaching. You know, Saul sinned. You know, the first king of Israel, Saul, sinned. And God did not even, you know, give him a chance again. But David sinned and God gave him a chance. You know why? That's a preach on its own. Because David knew how to react to his sin. People sin. You understand? There is no man, no woman in this world who say, "I have never sinned." That is why we people, we need the grace of God. We need the blessing of God. But God did not favor Saul. You know why? Because he did not treat his sin well. In fact, he sinned and he became frustrated and sinned more. But David humbled himself. He threw ashes on his head. He tore his robe. He cried out to the Lord. And God healed him and said, "You are my favorite." Amen. Now, that is another subject on his own. That's not my message today. And then God raised Solomon, who is the son of David, to build the temple. And God gave exactly the detail how Solomon has to build the temple. Amen. Now, when Solomon built the temple, then he is about to dedicate the temple. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about today. Dedication and temple. I want to talk to you about dedication and temple. Now, listen to me. 2,000 years ago, they went to Jesus and they want a sign from Jesus. And Jesus said, "Destroy the temple and I will build it in 3 days. What did he talk about? The people laughed at Jesus and said, "Are you crazy? It took us for so many years to build this temple. Now you are telling me to break the temple and build it again in 3 days. You are a joker." But Jesus said, "I'm not talking about the temple that is built by the hands of man. But I'm talking about the temple that is built by God," and he meant his own body. Because when you killed him, he rise on the third day. That is what he was talking about. Now, this brings us to the following point. That my brothers and sisters, in the New Testament, the temple of the Lord is not a building. The temple of the Lord is not a podium. The temple of the Lord is not a sound system. The temple of the Lord is not the walls of a church. The temple of the Lord is not the cross that we put there. You and I are the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord. Because every temple that has been built for God has been destroyed, has been attacked. But God said, "I am going to build up a new temple, and this temple is made of people, starting with Jesus himself. Hello, are you listening to me? So what does this make you? This makes you to be the temple of God. You are coming Sunday to church to worship God. It's true. That is an assembly. But you yourself are the temple of God. I'm talking about dedication and temple. Because in those times, when Solomon finished the temple, he brought the temple, he called God to come to the temple and dedicate that temple to God. That is what we are going now to read. But I want you to put what we are reading today in a New Testament perspective and begin to believe that you are the temple of God. You understand? You go to church as a Sunday, but you yourself are the church. What does it mean? That means you are not only a Christian on Sunday morning. You are a Christian on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. But when we see church as a building, we say, I'm going to church. No, you go to church, you go to assembly, coming together. But you are the church. That means you're coming and going. Your handling things should be in accordance to the will of God. I'm talking about temple and dedication. Because we can say to the Lord, 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 I love you, I love you, I love you. But is your lifestyle in agreement with the will of God? That is the question. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, we need to dedicate ourselves to God as a living sacrifices. We are the temple of God. The temple of God is not only preacher is preaching and you people are sitting and watching him sweating. That is not only the temple of God. The temple of God is you. That means, my friend, you are responsible for that body that God has given to you. You're talking, in Dutch we say handele and wandele. Your coming and going must be influenced by the will of God. You should not make any friendship with the patterns of the world. Because the patterns of the world are corrupt. The patterns of the world are there to destroy you. The patterns of the world are there to bring you far. But the patterns of God, as God also showed to Solomon the pattern how to build the temple. And God also has a pattern for you. There is a pattern for your life. And you have to follow that pattern. And in that time, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Solomon built the temple. And Solomon prayed a very long prayer, which I'm not going to do it here today. Solomon dedicated the temple to God. First, verse 1, and then we go to verse 11. Verse 1 says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Verse 2. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of God filled it. Verse 3. When all the Israelites saw that the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. He is good and his love, oh, his love endures forever. Forever means when you go through hard time. Forever means when you go through difficulties. Forever means when God is testing you. Forever means any situation, good or bad, his goodness endures what? Forever. Now, listen to me. Solomon was there dedicating what? The temple to the Lord. He dedicated that temple to the Lord, and the Spirit of God came and filled that temple. What does it mean? You who say you are a Christian, I who say I am a Christian, I am the temple of the Lord. And we have to be open for the Holy Spirit, which we call the experience of Pentecost. You remember the day of Pentecost? The disciples were together, they were praying, and suddenly the fire came and filled them. The Holy Ghost came and filled them. My friend, you who say you are a Christian, I who say I am a Christian, we should dedicate our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, listen very carefully to me. Are you listening? How many of you heard about Holocaust? Holocaust. All right. You see that Holocaust, we always think about Second World War. When we say Holocaust, we say Hitler, Jews, Second World War, he killed them. He burned them on fire. It's true, that is what we learned. But did you know that the word Holocaust is from the Bible? Holocaust means burn offering. Holocaust, burn offering. In the Old Testament, the priest would put the sacrificed animal meat on the altar and burn it on fire, and the smoke that came out of that was pleasant to the nose of God. That was what is written there in the Old Testament. But later in history, they used it, Holocaust, for what happened before, because Jews and others were massacred, killed, and burned. But the real word Holocaust comes from the Bible. Holocaust means burn offering. And listen to me, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul said, we shall be the living sacrifices for God. Let me tell you something. It is very easy to die for God. It's just 2 minutes you die. But it is difficult to live for God. And God wants us to live for Him. Because to live for Him is difficulter than die for Him. Because when you live for Him, means you need to dedicate this body that is your temple for God. You need to try to live honest. You need to try to live according to the word of God. You need to love like Jesus loved. You need to live like Jesus lived. And it is not easy. It's not easy. A few days ago, I was talking with one man. He's not believers. He's on the way to become a believer. He said, Samueli, please tell me, what shall I do? Whom shall I trust? I said to that man, I said, to be honest with you, you should trust nobody. You should trust nobody. You should not trust. Because I'm a human being. He said, how come you are talking like that? You are a man of God. I said, no, don't call me man of God, because the title of God is too big that I become His man. I am trying to be a man of God. I'm serious, eh? Because some people come, man of God, man of God. What man of God? Do you know what are you talking about? God. G-O-D. God. If you represent yourself as a man of God, that means your coming in and your going out should be the same as God. And when I go home and I go on my knees and I begin to pray, hey, I discover so many wickedness in my own self. I don't know about you, you are angels. All of you are angels. So if I, who is standing on this podium and preaching to you, find myself, this is what I said before. I said, if I was God, the first person I will fire from the ministry is myself. Because I know who I am. And I can never talk about you, but I know who I am. Hello. So when we are making things easy, man of God, man of God, man of God, those people who use the title man of God too much, I begin to doubt them. Somebody come to say, man of God, man of God. I say, what do you want from me? Because you are not trying to bribe me with man of God, man of God. Hello. When we say we belong to God, when we say our temple, our body belongs to God, we have to do our best. To do our best. We can never be 100%, but we can try. God is not looking at perfection. God is looking at your trying. Are you trying? I missed the clap offering here right now. And he said, When Solomon finished praying, fire came down. And you and I, my brothers and sisters, we need the experience of Pentecost. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait until my Holy Ghost come upon you. When my Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power. You shall receive fire. Because John the Baptist baptized you with water, but the one that is coming gonna baptize you with fire. When you are baptized with fire, you are a living sacrifice to God. Fire of what? Fire of what? Fire to be religious? No. That's not fire. That's a fake fire. You see, some people said fire means shouting. No, that's not fire. Fire means that you have a fire to live like Jesus. You have a fire to love like Jesus. You have a fire to follow the good commandments that God gave to us. That's fire. Not the fire to stone somebody, no. Because in the Bible, there are also commandments to stone. That's not the fire to stone somebody, but fire to be like Jesus. That fire. Hello. So Solomon, fire. When Solomon finished praying, fire came. Fire always comes when you pray. You didn't hear me. Fire don't come just you sit and do nothing. Fire comes when you pray. What is prayer? Prayer is not only words. Prayer is action. You act. And what you act is prayer. Hey! Somebody who is sitting home and shandalizing, and somebody is dying next door, and he said, I cannot help you because I'm shandalizing. That's not prayer. That is not prayer. When somebody is dying, you should help that person, and helping that person is a prayer to God. When they prayed, when you pray, prayer goes with action. When he prayed, the fire come. Church, don't pray. Don't get mad at me now. Church, don't pray. These days, church, don't pray. And all the load comes upon leaders and pastors. You see, now we are getting to 500, 400. You think I can remember everybody's name? Never. I'm telling you, don't judge me. I cannot. You can remember my name, but I cannot remember your name. God knows your name. My friend, I cannot remember your name. Because I'm not God. I'm a human being and I don't have a chip in my brain to remember by computer. I try to remember everybody's name. But the people are always waiting for the pastor to fix things for them, for God. Hey, pastor is not a fixer. I'm serious. You need to pray for yourself. You need to have your own relationship with God. Nobody comes and chew the food. Hello. Eh? Nobody comes and chew the food. Let me chew the food first and then put it out and put it in your mouth. You like it? Yeah, you like it. You will never like it. If you do it to me, I will fire you. It's not possible. But many people want to see, pastor, fix this for me. Pastor, fix that for me. Pastor, I want to get a child. Pastor, my friend, what is pastor's business with these things? Pray. Pastor can pray. Pastor can pray. Listen to me. Pastor can pray. But if you don't have a lifestyle of prayer, if you don't have a lifestyle of Christianity, and you say you are a long time Christian, my prayer is not effective. It's not effective. I'm only killing my throat. Prayer is effective when we are in agreement. I said prayer is effective when we are in agreement. The Bible said when two people agree together in his name. So I can shout myself, kill myself, shandalize myself, but you yourself are not in agreement with what I'm saying. Nothing will happen. Hey. When you pray, fire comes. When you pray, fire comes. Not when you sit, do nothing. Hello, Christians. You know, I told you last time, we want everything fast. Fast blessing, fast prayer, fast Sunday service, fast this. But when a football game, we never say it's too long. We like to watch it. When a nice movie is too long, we don't care. We watch it. When there is a drama and we have many CDs, we watch one drama, we want to know the next. and put the next and watch to know the next. And then until 4 o'clock, you're watching drama in the morning. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because me and Mama did it. So if I and Mama did it, you people do it the same. Hey. Some people, they like Korean drama too much. I was in Africa, in Kumasi. I open television, I see Korean drama. With Chui language. It's very funny. Chinese people, Koreans, they talk Chui. People are watching. But when it time comes for praying, when time comes to dedicate your life, dedicate your body for God, we are lazy, we are tired. Have you noticed that whenever you want to pray, you begin to like this all the time? It's true. Why when you watch football, you don't get that? You feel tired, you feel back pain, you feel knee pain. All the sicknesses come. It's true. But the Bible says when Solomon prayed, fire came. And fire is good and fire is bad. Because when fire comes, it can burn dirty things. When fire comes, it can destroy dirty things. But the good things will be with fire. Hello. Now listen to this. We go to verse 11. Are you there? Verse 11, 7 verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord. When he had finished the temple of the Lord. Stop there, please. Do you know that you are a finished temple of the Lord? Hello. You are a finished temple of the Lord. You are already adult. You are finished. You are ready. You are the temple of God. You are finished. He said, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, the Lord came to him when he was completed, when he fulfilled the will of the Lord. The Lord came and said, verse 12, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. What did he say? He said, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a living sacrifice. And today, my brothers and sisters, 2,000 years after the death of Christ, the same Lord is talking to you, but this time he is not talking to the temple of Solomon. He is talking to you. Today, I have heard your prayers, and if you allow me, I am coming to you because I have chosen you. My friend, it is not you who choose Jesus. It's Jesus who chooses you. Hey. Hello. It's a difference. People say evangelism. Some people, they are so pushy to evangelize people. You push them to believe in Jesus. You push them so hard, they enter heaven, and from the other side, they enter hell. You push them so much in heaven, from other side they come out in hell. Hey, don't push people. Fellowship with them, talk with them, love them. Let your lifestyle, let your aroma, let your life be a testimony for that person. Not your talking, because we are very good in talking, especially we Pentecostals. We are very good in talking. We can talk, man. We talk good. We have all PhD in talking. I'm telling you, some of pastors, they can talk far better than me. I'm not a good talker. You see, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place. God said, I have chosen you. God said, before you are born, I know you. I know your name. I have written your name in the palms of my hand. You are the chosen people of God. You are chosen by the Lord. You belong to him. Then act as if you belong to him. alone. Listen, verse 13. This it comes. Verse 13. This is God talking. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. Are you listening? Or command locusts to devour the land. Or send a plague among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Wow. Wow. Can we read it together? Verse 14. If you have a Bible, read with me. Verse 14. 1, 2, 3. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Hello. This is the secret of success in life. My friend, if my people who hear my name, are you belonging to Jesus or not? Or you belong to devil? To whom do you belong? Now, he is talking to you now. He said, if my people who are called by my name, you carry the name of Christ, will humble themselves and pray. Do you know what this means? This means, my brothers and sisters, you need every day to check yourself. You need the checkup every day. Checkup of your soul. Checkup of your action. Check yourself whether your lifestyle is in agreement with God or not. Shaking the preacher's hand on Sunday is not sufficient. Hugging the preacher is not sufficient. Hello, coming to church is not sufficient. You need to go on your knees every day and check yourself. Humble yourself. Don't look at other people. Don't say that sister do like that so I can also do like that. No, that sister, when we all go heaven and we are being judged by the Lord, that sister will not stand for you. You are standing for your actions. And I'm coming to tell you, everything that you do in this world, you will receive it also in this world and the life after also. You shall be testing yourself. Don't look at other people. Test yourself. You are responsible for yourself. Hallelujah. Papa is hot, eh? Hallelujah. If, he said, how many of you know English language? How many of you know English? Do you know what if is? If is if, eh? If is if, Kwame. If is if. Hallelujah. He said what? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Whose face do you seek, actually? My question is, whose face do you seek? These days, we are seeking so many people's faces. We are beginning to compete churches. That pastor, he can prophesy, he can tell you the color of your shirt. That pastor, my friend, you are not seeking the face of a pastor. You are seeking God. You are seeking Jesus. No, if you go to that pastor, when that pastor look at your face, he knows already your name. So what? Whose face are you seeking? You put your hope in me, you will be disappointed, eh? Don't put your hope in me. Don't put your hope in people. Whose face do you seek? Some people who are not even Christian, they seek the faces of so many people. Don't let me open my mouth. Some of them, whatever Oprah Winfrey said, people do, they die for her. Oprah Winfrey. Do you think Oprah Winfrey is at home thinking about you? Never. She is thinking about her own program on television and popularity. Whose face are you looking? Whose face are you seeking? You should seek the face of the Lord. Because people will disappoint you. Pastors will disappoint you. Churches will disappoint you. Brothers, sisters may disappoint you. But when you seek the face of the Lord, even when people disappoint you, you can stand. Amen. Today we are too much seeking the face of people. Seeking the face, not only of people, but even nations. If I only have visa to come to Holland. If I only have visa to stay in Holland. Let me tell you something. You can have 25 visas in Holland. But if your mindset is not changed, you grow nothing. Don't get mad at me now. A free man is a free man. He don't need a visa or this and that. A free man is free man here. Because when you are here free, even you are in the prison, you are free. Look at Nelson Mandela. The man was in prison 27 years. And they thought they put him in prison, but those who put him in prison, they themselves were in prison, not Nelson Mandela. Because the words of Nelson Mandela traveled all around. Hey, I feel like preaching today. I said, I feel like preaching today. Whose face do you seek? Whose face do you seek? You should seek the face of the Lord every day. Without the Lord, do nothing, my friend. Without the Lord, move not out of your house. Without the Lord, do not drive a car. Without the Lord, do not go to school. You need the Lord. Every day when I drive my car, I close my eyes first and I pray before I drive car. It's important. Before you step out of the house, do it in the name of the Lord. Hey, how many times shall I tell this to you? Hallelujah. He said, if my people humble themselves. One of the problems. Can I talk today? Papa, can I talk today? One of the problems we Christians have, and I'm talking about Christians, because who am I to talk about Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus? I talk about Christians. We Christians often are seen as the most proud people in the world. Because we think we own heaven. We think that when we die, heaven is automatically for us. And for this reason, we begin to think that we are superior than anybody else because everybody else will go to hell. I'm the one going to heaven. We Christians, we need to humble ourselves more than anybody else in the world because we are being watched. We need humbleness in the church. And when I say we need humbleness in the church, Samuel Lee himself must start with that humbleness. Because I'm not there to tell to you. I said you are all angels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to humble ourselves. In our mannerism, in our talking, in our, you know, one time I meet one man, honestly, I'm not joking, eh? I meet one man and I just said his name. He said, let me correct you. You see, this already, when somebody said, let me correct you, there is no humbleness in there. Let me correct you. My name is Bishop, Reverend, Evangelist, End Time Prophet. I'm not joking, I'm telling you the truth. End time prophet, doctor, reverend, so and so and so. Well, that doesn't show any humbleness, my friend. And you can preach about humbleness, but that doesn't show any humbleness in your living and action. We are too proud. We are too proud. We are not humble. Why? Because we like to find mistakes of other people. My friend, before you find mistake of other people, go on your knees, seek the face of God and let him reveal your own mistakes to you. We like to talk, eh? Humble. What does humble mean? Reduce yourself to God. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. That is repentance. Repentance. Let me tell you something. God is not a dentist. You go so that every time he can feel the holes in your teeth. Hey. Hello. God says, repent. Repent means turn away from the things you are doing. Hello. Turn away from gossip. Turn away from talking. Turn away from judging. Turn away from the things that are not from God. then I will hear you from heaven. Many prayers are not yet in heaven because we are not humble, because we are not having the lifestyle of Jesus, because we are not turning away from our lifestyle. Instead, we are looking at other people and we are minding their business. Hello. Verse 15. Are you there? Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Wow. He said, when you do that, when you humble yourself before God, when you come back from your wickedness, every day you should do that. Not once every January. Eh? Some people go Christmas to church to come back from their wickedness. You need to go to church every day. And you are the church yourself. Every day you have to repent. Now my eyes, when you do that, now my eyes will be open. Now my ears will attend to your prayers offered in this place. Verse 16. This is what the Lord says to you. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Do you know that the eyes and the heart of God is always following you? Wherever you go, his eyes is there looking at you. Do you know that? Don't think that God has forsaken you. He's always there. He has chosen you. He has consecrated. When you do that, when you do these things, then God chooses you. Then God consecrates you as his temple. And then your name, his name will be there forever. You know, Apostle Paul said, because of you, he said to some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who believed in Jesus. He said, because of you, my name is ruined. The name of Jesus is ruined. My friend, every mistake you do, and you say you are a Christian, you ruin the name of Jesus. You need to be a good advertisement to Jesus. Hello. Jesus, we are his advertisement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 17. As for you, if. Somebody say if. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. In other words, what he said is that when you follow the decrees of the Lord, when you follow God's commandment, not only you are blessed, but the generation that will come out of you will be blessed because of you. So you are not only living for yourself. You are living for generations that will come out of you. You are sitting here. You had an ancestor. Eh? Did you know that? What your ancestors did, that is why you are here today. So what you do today will influence generations to come. So choose for the way of the Lord. Choose to live like Jesus. You are the temple of God, and act as a temple and be holy and try to live life according to Christ.
and help on earth by which man can be saved. Jesus Christ attained his name by openly defeating the devil and by inheritance. When he went down into hell, he forced out of the devil's hand the keys to death and hell. And he came out and he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go in my name. For in my name there is salvation. In my name there is healing. In my name there is deliverance. In my name there is peace. Because I am the Prince of Peace. And I live and reign forever. You are the Lord of Lords.
Precious bride, bride of snow. more. On the cross of Calvary, where he died for me, yeah. We must see, we're washed away, hey, 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 hey. Blood of Jesus makes me all one. We must see, taking away, hey, the blood of Jesus. There is happiness in my very heart when Jesus came down and died for me. He set me free from the shackles of the enemy and gave me abundant life and unique, unique ease of God. When he came down from heaven, Lord, he came and died to set me free. I thank you, Lord, oh God, there is joy in my heart. Of Jesus, yeah, 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 oh, where my sins again, I'm washing away, away, precious blood of Jesus.
Has been
take it forevermore. And now I am free. I am free forevermore. Lord, I want to thank you for washing me whole. I'm whole. Lord, I think I thank you. Thank you forevermore. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, oh. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, forevermore. Lord, I bless your name, O God. Lord, Jehovah Nisi, I give you glory. For the death of Calvary, oh, oh, to set me free. Lord, I praise your name, O God. I live in your majesty, your name, O God. Jehovah Shalom, I give you praise, O God, for the death.